Amen. It is a great delight and an honor to be a Christian, to be a part of God's wonderful family. Not everyone enjoys that wonderful distinction of being a child of God. Although it is the desire and intent of God that all men everywhere be saved and be made a part of his family. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad that you have taken advantage of the special provisions that God has made to secure our salvation and to grant the forgiveness of our sins so we can lead and live a brand new life? We have been enabled by the grace of God to start all over with a clean slate. And we have the delightful privilege, even now, when we fail, when we fall, when we falter, when we sin, the Lord has made provisions to forgive us, restore us, and help us move forward. Aren't you glad to be a member of the Church of Christ? We can be thankful to be members of that august body for which Jesus our Lord died on the cross, shed his precious blood, purchasing the church for our benefit, that we could be a part of it. I want to talk to you this morning about some of the one another verses in the New Testament. Some of the verses that highlight and emphasize the relationships that we sustain with each other as children of God. The Bible is the mind of God imprint. In it, God reveals what he wants mankind to know. In it, God reveals what mankind needs to know. In the 27 New Testament books, four relate to the life of Christ. One relates the beginning and early history of the church, that is the book of Acts. 21 epistle books, Romans through Jude, pertain to guiding Christians to grow and live a faithful Christian life after obedience to the gospel of Christ. That's 21 of 27 books relate to how we should relate to each other and how we should live the Christian life as faithful followers of Jesus Christ. That's 78%. Of the 139 chapters in the 21 books of the total book chapters of the New Testament of 260, 53% of the chapters deal with how we are to relate to each other and how we are to live as faithful followers of Jesus Christ. There are 7,967 verses in the New Testament. The 21 books that deal with how we should live as Christians comprise 5,190 verses of that 7,967 verses, which ends up being 65% of the verses in the New Testament. From the perspective of the words in the New Testament, there are 180,506 overall. Those contained in the 21 books that tell us how to relate to each other and how to live a faithful Christian life, there are 121,145. That's 67% of the words. Any way you measure it, books, chapters, verses, or words, well over half of the New Testament has to do with how to live after one becomes a Christian. The Bible, as the mind of God in print, tells us there are right ways and wrong ways to live. There are right things and wrong things to do. There are right beliefs and wrong beliefs to espouse. There are right behaviors and wrong behaviors to demonstrate in our lives. God wants each one of his children to help all others of his children remain faithful and serve him to the very best of their abilities. An examination of the one another verses of the New Testament will admonish and guide us to that end. Don't you want Brother Jones to go to heaven? Don't you want Brother Jones to be faithful? Don't you want Brother Jones to always walk in a manner before God that is well pleasing and acceptable in his sight? I'm sure you don't want Brother Jones to dishonor Christ by the way he lives. You don't want Brother Jones to disappoint the Lord by failing to live up to his exalted standards that are clearly disclosed in the pages of his word. Don't y'all want to see me in heaven? Good. Yeah, I want to see y'all in heaven. Yeah, I want to see James in heaven. I want to see Sister Daniel in heaven. Yeah, I want to see Henry Jr. in heaven. Yes, sir. I want you to be able to come down, visit me at my mansion every now and then, Henry. Yeah, I want to see our elders there, our deacon there, our song leaders, our teachers, our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents. I want to see all of our children there, our teens there, couples there, singles there. I want to see everybody be saved. Isn't that wonderful? Because we are family. And we are members one of another. And we should have the spiritual welfare of one another at heart. We should be committed to promoting the overall spiritual health and soundness of our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And with that in mind, we call your attention to some of the one another passages in the Bible. They disclose some of the vital obligations and responsibilities that we have for each other. Brother Gary read for us from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. By bearing one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. And chiefly, we fulfill the law of Christ by loving one another faithfully. And we're going to look at that later on, but I want you to keep that in mind as we examine and explore the one another passages in the scripture. Now I'm going to refer to one specific passage presently, and we'll come back and deal with some other things later. And that's Romans 13. Romans 13. We'll begin with verse number 7. Verse number 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. And it should, that very fact, that very reality, should compel us to love one another in a very special and significant way. Love one another. A one another passage that we need to focus our attention on is James chapter 5 and verse 16. That's a passage that we quote periodically. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do we pray enough for one another? I think there's always room for improvement. There's always room for us to pray more for one another. I frankly am convinced that you can't pray too much for your brothers and for your sisters in Christ. I think we definitely can pray too little. Let us make it our task to pray for each other frequently, on a regular basis. Sometimes when folks are talking about praying and requesting that you pray for them, you've heard anybody say, now, Gervais Brown, when you pray for me, call my name. You know, it's very easy to pray just a general prayer. And so, Lord, bless all my brothers and sisters. That's good. But it's better to pray a specific prayer. And so, Lord, bless Clifford Pryor. Bless Sister Regina Martin. Bless Kathy Maltese. Bless Solomon in the way that he stands in need of blessings. Bless Sheila. Bless Thomas. Bless David. Bless Tanya. Bless Derek. Bless Annie. Bless Consuela. Bless Dolores. Bless Teresa. Bless Sharon. Bless Jane. Bless Mary. Bless each and every individual. I've heard of elders on a regular basis praying for each member of the flock that God will bless them and provide them with what they need to facilitate their spiritual growth and development. Confess your faults or your trespasses to one another. Pray one for another. Let's here now resolve to pray more for one another. Prayer is powerful. We need to pray. We need to pray for others. We need others to pray for us. We need to pray for one another. This is a duty that pertains to all Christians. Prayer benefits the one doing the praying, and it benefits the one being prayed for. Let's pray more for one another. Another thing that we should do with reference to one another obligations. Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13. We should encourage one another. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12. And 13. Take heed, therefore, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort or encourage one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort or encourage one another. Not just every now and then, not just every blue moon, not when you perceive somebody to be down, not just when you perceive somebody to be having a difficult time or facing challenging circumstances, not just when somebody has lost a job, not just when somebody has lost their health, not just when somebody has lost their house, not just when somebody has lost a significant investment or lost their car. Although it's wonderful and needful that we pray for people under those adverse circumstances, but we need to pray for and encourage one another daily. As we have the opportunity, and we should take the opportunity daily to encourage one another. This supposes or presupposes a state of close church fellowship without which they could not have as ready access to each other. Brethren were to encourage one another. Brethren were to encourage one another daily, and so must we encourage and exhort our brethren regularly. We each belong to the same fellowship. We each belong to the same family. We have a responsibility to help one another. It's nothing like being gathered together in the assembly and coming together on a regular basis. That's why the Hebrew writer said that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's good to encourage one another while we are here, before and after service. And we can do it during service as well. Because one of the ways by which we encourage one another, one of the ways by which that is done, we do it in singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, we talk to each other and we teach and admonish one another while we're singing. See, it's so easy for us to get into the habit of just mouthing the words. And sometimes beautiful, melodious sounds issue forth, but they don't really reflect the condition of our hearts. We are sometimes just going through the motions, but we need to take the words and the message being conveyed by them very seriously and allow them to express our authentic sentiments for each other's spiritual welfare as we communicate with one another. I dare say, and you don't have to raise your hands, we are not limited in how we can exhort and encourage one another. It's good to do that here, do it in Bible classes, and we do. Do it before service and before class and after service and after class, in addition to doing service and doing class. But there are some other ways that we can encourage one another if we'll take time to do so. That is right there. I'm amazed. Sometimes it's difficult to find a Christian who does not have a cell phone. Any of you young people have a cell phone? Y'all do? Okay. Some of y'all got iPhones. Yeah, but it's rare to find a person who does not have a cell phone. It's probably a little bit rarer to find a person who has a home phone. A lot of folks don't have home phones no more. They've deactivated them. They've canceled them out. I don't need no home phone. I've got my cell phone. Carry it with me everywhere. I sleep with my cell phone. It right there on my pillow. So if somebody give me a text, send me a text, or somebody send me an email, even, let alone somebody calling me, I can immediately reach over and get it. Like, who is this? Modern technology can be used to promote spiritual ends. You can call one another and encourage one another by phone. There's a lady that Sister English knows who on a regular basis will call folk and encourage them. Some of y'all might have received a call from this lady. She don't take much time. She'll call you and say, "This is Sister Young. Yeah. Sometimes she'll say, I don't want nothing. I just want you to know that I love you. And I hope you're having a good day. That doesn't cost her very much. That doesn't take very much time. But it should be meaningful. I think it expresses the authentic sentiments of her heart, her genuine efforts to demonstrate the spiritual efficacy of having a one another relationship. I think more of us should do that. Just call Cameron and then say to him, Cameron, this is your good friend, Sister Jeannie Mae Snodgrass. I just call you to let you know that I love you. As a sister in Christ, not with romantic overtones. Just wanted to check on you and see how you're doing. That's a means by which we can encourage one another. While some may need more encouragement than others, we must be there for each other and all others who are part of God's family. A safeguard against believers turning away from God is for them to encourage one another. A lot of folks fall away because they are not regularly encouraged by their brothers and sisters in Christ. Brethren should continually remind each other to turn away from sin and to stay focused on Christ. The Hebrew writer urged Christians to be alert themselves and to encourage others. A person cannot encourage or be encouraged apart from fellowship. Thus, believers are urged not to give up the assembling of themselves together. We need to be aware that Christians cannot live as Christians in a vacuum. They need more than individual vigilance. They need encouragement and correction from their brothers and sisters in Christ. Allow fellow Christians to encourage you, and also see that you do not refuse to listen to a fellow Christian who may see sin or a problem in your life. Don't just wait for a minister or elder or deacon to encourage someone else. Each person, you included, has that responsibility as a part of the family of God. Galatians 6:2, from which we read earlier, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Unfortunately, however, many Christians end up discouraged rather than encouraged by other Christians. Let us here now highly resolve that we are going to do everything within our poor power never to be the source of discouragement with reference to our brothers and sisters in the family of God. Let us be consciously and constantly vigilant and take steps that will ensure that we encourage, not discourage. There are enough folks in the world to discourage. There are enough folk in the world to put us down. There are enough folk in the world to sink us into a desolate state of despair and depression. We need brothers and sisters in Christ to lift us up, to help place our feet on solid ground. Yes, folks will pull you down in the world. Some of your co-workers will do that. It reminds me when Moses interceded on that day after he had killed the Egyptian in defense of one of his fellow Israelite brethren. Two Hebrews were squabbling with each other. And you know what Moses told them? He said, "Sirs, ye be brethren. Why do ye wrong one to another?" He said, "You guys in the same family. You're brothers. Why do you wrong one to another? You're supposed to be helping each other. You're supposed to be loving each other. You're supposed to have each other's backs." You know, and you don't want when somebody says, "I got your back," for them to be thinking in terms of, "I got your back and I can stab you in it whenever I get ready." You want somebody who's going to protect you. Somebody who's going to look out for you. Somebody who's going to defend you. "Sirs, ye be brethren. Why do you wrong one to another?" Sisters, you're in the same family. "Why malign? Why slander one another?" You are in the same family. You are members one of another. Encourage each other. Our elders need encouragement. They are elders. You mean they need encouragement? Of course they need encouragement. Amen. Our deacon needs encouragement. But he's a deacon. Why does he need to be? Everybody needs encouragement. The wives of our elders need encouragement. The wife of our deacon needs encouragement. Do you know what? Truth be told, your preacher needs encouragement. "Why? I never heard such." Of course the preacher needs encouragement. His wife needs encouragement. And a wonderful source of encouragement for the preacher, and I'm sure the elders feel the same way, and the deacon feels the same way, and others feel the same way. One of my best sources of encouragement is my delightful and loving wife. Of course, I get encouragement from a number of different sources, from the elders, the deacon, from teachers, and all kinds of folk who are members of the body, and I appreciate it. I need more of it. Bring it on. Bring on the encouragement, that is. Because I can use as much of it as you can offer. Encourage one another. Finally, build up one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. Notice the words of Paul. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another." That word edify simply means build up one another, strengthen one another. The idea of building, see, we speak of a building as being an edifice. That's same basic root, edify, building. When we get engaged in edifying, we are building each other up, not tearing each other down. All of us need to be built up. We need to major in. We need to specialize in building each other up. By building up individuals, by building up families, we build up the congregation. We build up the church. We strengthen our position in the community. We make it easier to draw others to Christ, to facilitate the growth and development spiritually and numerically of the Church of Christ, of our congregation. Romans Romans 14:19. Let us, I like the us part. That signifies relationship, that signifies kinship, that signifies closeness. Let us, and when we think about us, we can think about the we-ness of us. Let us, therefore, follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith we may edify or build up another. Follow after the things which make for peace. Follow after the things whereby we can build up one another. Strive to build one another up, not tear one another down. As Christians are lively stones built up together, spiritual house, we should endeavor to promote the good of the whole church by promoting good in each other. We should communicate our knowledge and experiences one to another. We should join in prayer and praise one with another. We should set a good example one before another. Christians will never stop needing encouragement or building up. As long as you live, you will always need encouragement. As long as you live, you'll always need to be edified and built up. One another, obligations of God's people. Don't you want to become a part of God's family where such a wonderful one another relationship exists and is in constant operation, where we love one another, where we confess our faults to one another, where we pray for one another, where we encourage one another, where we edify one another? So many people fail to recognize that all of these wonderful blessings are resident in the body of Jesus Christ, the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are so many good things that the church has to offer, and we need to be sure to take full advantage of them. Jesus wants you to be a part of the church. Jesus wants you to be saved. He wants you to be able to come in out of a life of sin, out of a world that doesn't care anything about you, out of a world that will drain you dry, will pick you clean. A world that has no real regard for you, that are concerned preeminently about what they can get out of you. A world where you are victimized, a world where you are traumatized, A world where you are shortchanged. A world where you are literally destroyed. Come out of that kind of sinful and evil, debilitating, subversive environment. Come into the church of the Lord. Come into the body of Christ. Start life all over again. No matter what you have done, no matter how you have been taken advantage of, no matter to what level you have fallen, no matter what sins you have committed, the Lord loves you and wants you to be a part of his family. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Jesus loved you so much that he died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine. Didn't have to do it. He did it because he loved you so. That just makes me feel better. Knowing that I'm worth Jesus dying for. I might not be much, of course I'm all I got, but the Lord loved me enough. Little fellow from the Delta of Mississippi. The Lord loved me enough to die for me. That conveys to me a special sense of significance and value. Not only did he die for me, but he died for you. Don't let nobody put you down. Don't let nobody denigrate you, despise you, and cause you to feel that you are worthless, cause you to feel that you are nobody, because we know you are somebody because Jesus died for you, that you might live. He died. He was buried, but he arose triumphantly from the grave, making your salvation and mine possible. All you have to do is believe that good news of the gospel, that wonderful story of love with all of your heart. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, whom he claimed to be. And that he did all of that for you. Repent of your sins. Turn your back on the things you know to be wrong. Start all over again. Commit yourself to living for the Lord. Confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God. And submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. And you can arise from the watery grave ready to live a brand new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Don't you want to start off anew with a clean slate? You can do it today. Maybe you're here and you're already a Christian, but you've fallen by the wayside. You've lapsed into a state of apathy, a state of unfaithfulness. You don't have to remain in that unenviable position. You can be restored. The Lord's just waiting to restore you. Standing with outstretched arms as his invitation reverberates down the corridors of time, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. through repentance, confession, and prayer, you can be forgiven and restored because the Lord loves you. Will you come now as we together stand and as we sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Well, are you washed?
Are they white?